I want to say also thank you. There are some of you that are so consistent with coming to prayer on Monday evenings. It's just part of your routine. Sure, you can pray at home, but you realize the value you are to your brothers and sisters by joining us. We park around the back. There's a chapel entrance. We start at 7 and we end at 8. There is a lot of power that flows in that brief amount of time. We do our best to end on time because we know that there are a lot of responsibilities. But the foundation of anything that blesses us here has to be prayer, because we must express our reliance on the Lord. Tomorrow evening, we will have a special guest. We will still start at 7, end at 8, but we're asking Brother Nathan Holzman to help us, missionary to Switzerland, just to focus in prayer for the nations of the world, but also as he feels led, very apostolic, to help us pray for one another. It's going to be a dynamic time from 7 to 8. I also want to say thank you to Brother Bibb for the burden that you carry for that session. You do an awesome job. We appreciate it very much. And those of you that are consistent, you know he is a blessing in that setting. Also, Wednesday night, I want to say a huge thank you. Some of you, it just takes like, a world catastrophe, an eclipse, I don't know. You just don't miss Wednesday night. It's just your custom. I got to be in Bible study. I got to make sure if I have kids, they have access to all of that. Thank you for your faithfulness. It makes a difference. I never want to live for God long enough that I don't need Bible study. That would be so frightening to me. And yet I know there are things that come up that are unavoidable, but so many of you, it is your habit. If you have not made it a habit, start it this Wednesday. We're in the middle of a series on the book of John. We're up to John chapter 17. We will actually have a guest this Wednesday helping us 35 minutes or so on the book of John 17. Brother Robert Linder will be here. He's a tremendous preacher of the gospel, a great pastor. I know him personally, and you will enjoy his ministry. And that's Wednesday. And then on and on it goes. There's a lot of great things happening around here. Amen. I want you to stand and get your Bibles out. I really feel like the Lord wants me to share some things from his word. There are so many indicators that this is what the Lord would have us to do right now. So from Acts 16 and verse 25, you may recognize the scripture, although the atmosphere is vastly different than last week. There are some things in this passage that speak to us as a church. I want us to grab a hold of it and truly impact our community and our world in these last days. Acts 16 and verse 25, let's read it out loud together. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. We don't know if they sang real pretty, we just know they sang loud. Loud enough for the prisoners to hear them. And I think it's awesome that although their worship caught the attention of others, their prayer was just as passionate that it caught the attention of people that needed God. I think it speaks to our day. I want to preach to you for a little bit from this thought, making the most of midnight. Making the most of midnight. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Everyone that has the Holy Ghost and feels the liberty to pray in the Spirit, I would like for you to pray with authority right now that God would have his way, that he would help me to be a vessel that he can use, that he would help you and us to receive his word. Go ahead and lift your voice out like a trumpet right now. I know you don't need me to cheerlead you, but would you pray with authority right now? And let's just come together in a little bit of a show of unity, a force of conviction. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you shout in Jesus' name?
In Jesus' name.
God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for helping us pray. It is not hard to imagine that we are living in a midnight hour for our generation. Really, I'm going to step out on a limb, and I cannot defend this statement. I'm just going to say I tend to believe that we are living in a midnight hour for the history of humanity. And to put that in context, I would like to remind you of a parable that Jesus shared when he taught about the kingdom of heaven. We're going to look at Matthew 25 just for a moment. But he described 10 ladies, 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom. And this was a picture of his own people waiting for his return. 5 of these were wise. They had oil in their lamps, ready to burn and ready to show the way to the coming of the bridegroom. There were 5 that were foolish. Somehow they had wasted their oil. They were not ready. You're familiar, probably. Probably many of you understand, even from Sunday school, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. But look at what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 25 and verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, everybody say midnight. And at midnight, there was a cry that was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. I want to just remind this great church today that there is going to come a time when our bridegroom cometh. And there is the potential, based on the story that Jesus told, that many could be asleep to the signs of the times. Many might be distracted, even some that had oil, some that looked the part, some that seemed to be where they needed to be. They were not ready. When Jesus told this story in verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I have a lot of responsibilities that I cherish with the privilege of serving as pastor of this awesome church. But I will tell you, there is one responsibility that means more to me than anything else. And that is, I want to be like a watchman on the wall that declares, midnight is here and here comes the bridegroom. I want to be like one of those that is positioned to help prepare the bride, so that even if somebody might be sleeping occasionally, I might say or do something to help them wake up, because I know when midnight comes, I must be ready, and everybody I can influence must be ready, because Jesus is coming for a church that has made herself ready. It's in that context that I preach making the most of midnight. Because I believe in the midnight hour, you could drift off to sleep. I know as I get older, I hope to be sleeping at midnight on most occasions. Towards the midnight hour, and if you study prophecy, you can see there's even the attempt for all of the distractions of the affairs of life to distract the church from being ready. But I know that we can make the most of the midnight hour by just kind of focusing together. Together and coming in agreement as a people. No matter what, I'm going to be ready when Jesus comes. No matter what, my family is going to be ready when Jesus comes. No matter what, my church is going to be ready when Jesus comes. Amen. I'm talking about making the most of midnight. It is possible that at midnight, there will be signs. There will be indicators. Something is shifting in the atmosphere. Something is changing in humanity. God is doing something to awaken us from our slumber. Jesus said this in Mark 13, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening time, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest some coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you all, or what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch, watch." I want to make a midnight cry for Heaven View today, and I want to say, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I want to say to every family, I want to say to every leader, I want to say to every parent, God forbid that we would slumber, that we would sleep. Jesus is coming. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want to say, if you will allow me not to be distracted even in this message from the signs of the times, but I do want to throw this out there. Do not focus on the signs. Focus on the Savior. I know that we could spend some time, and there must be an avenue or a setting where the church should speak loud and clear about the chaos of our day. But I don't believe we're going to make the most of midnight by just focusing on terrorism or focusing on the threat of war, focusing on the sun being darkened, if you will, or even focusing on racism. Obviously, we have to understand that as a church, there is no place for racism. There is no place for you and I to look at each other as though we can make a distinction because of color or because of background. I think the church needs to give a clear sound. But you know what would be better than what we say? How about how we live? Why don't we all go to church together? Why don't we all worship together? Why don't we all pray together? And maybe that can be a witness that red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Praise the name of the Lord. I am horrified by the fact, and I have heard others say, that we could be on the brink of World War III or Civil War. And I don't want to make light of those dangers, but I do want to say, I am not focused on the signs. I'm focused on the Savior, and I'm going to make the most of midnight by making sure I'm getting ready for the coming of the Lord, and I'm helping everybody I know be ready for the coming of Jesus. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And while there is a mess in this world, there are miracles in the church. There's revival in the church. There's victory in the church. Jesus is speaking, and we see it in Luke 21. He said, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Now, believe it or not, that's nearly 2,000 years old. It sounds like something I just got off the internet. But Jesus was trying to help us understand when it's midnight, you're going to be able to know something is about to happen. You can make the most of midnight. He goes on to say, verse 26, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. If they ever start talking about the signs, if they ever start talking about the sun and the moon, if they ever start talking about the stars, if they ever start talking about distress in the nations, the Lord says, don't look down, look up. It's midnight. Don't focus on the signs. Don't focus on the struggle. Focus on Jesus and say, come on, everybody. The trumpet's about to sound. Come on, everybody. Jesus is coming. Praise the name of the Lord. It's midnight. But we are not afraid of the dark. God is making the most of the midnight for the church. This is our hour. The midnight belongs to the light shining people of God. It's midnight, and just a couple of weeks ago, an unprecedented plus, 34,000 plus worshiping God. You know what they were doing? They were making the most of the midnight while teenagers turn to some sort of religion that turns them into terror. While teenagers turn to drugs and alcohol and addiction and immorality and promiscuity, the church is making the most of the midnight when our young people are saying, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to be a soul winner. The midnight belongs to the church. Can you say amen? Recently, it's been a couple years, and it's been in the media, and I know some of what's happening is very frightening. But in the Philippines, they declared war on drugs. And in some ways, this war has been just absolutely disastrous. And I'm not saying from a political perspective, every decision has been made that's been right. I don't even want to get into that. But a nation said, we have an epidemic with drugs. And they basically said, if you have an addiction, you've got two choices. You can turn yourself in and we'll get you help. Or if we catch you, we're going to put you in prison. But some people get killed on the way to prison. I think that's it in a nutshell. Over 1 million people have come forward and said, I've got an addiction and I need help. And the nation of the Philippines has been overwhelmed. They started doing the calculations. They nowhere near expected over 1 million coming forward and saying, I'm addicted here. I'm turning myself in. I need help. They calculated it would cost us as a country $7,000 per person. There's no way we can help all these addicts. That's billions of dollars. It would destroy our nation. They went to a church that has a history for being very large throughout the whole world and even has a presence in that nation. Now, I don't want to throw stones at that particular church, but they are very well known as even a political force in the earth. And that church said, yeah, we'll help you with your drug addicts. And we've done some calculations. It'll take about $7,000 per person for the church to help your addicts. But on their way to despair, someone on the cabinet of the Philippine government is a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. And this cabinet member said, wait a minute. I may not go to the biggest church in the country. I may not go to the church that's famous all around the world for being the universal church, but I know about a place where if you're addicted to drugs, you can walk in and you can repent of your sins and you can be baptized in Jesus' name and it won't cost you $7,000 because the Holy Ghost is free. And so our missionaries got together with pastors. In fact, one very well-known pastor in the United Pentecostal Church, whose name is Anthony Mangan, he provided a drug rehab program for them to present to the government. It's similar to the program they use in their church. And so they went to the government and said, here is the program we use. And so a million people in the Philippines that are being addicted to drugs with nowhere to turn, they can't turn to the government. They can't turn to traditional church, but they're being told by their government, if you want help, go to the United Pentecostal Church and you can find deliverance. You can find restoration. In other words, you either go to jail or you go to church. It is the church's hour to shine at midnight. It is Heaven View's time to shine at midnight. Would you clap your hands as if to lift your voice, as if to say, I will make the most of midnight. Along with this, some of you are aware, over the last few years, the United Pentecostal Church has been given favor by the United Nations. And up until now, over 30 world leaders have repented of their sins and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues in services that are held regularly at the United Nations. These are not just services for One God Apostolics. These are services for Muslims that are influential in their nation. These are services for every kind of religion you can imagine. It's open to everybody. And here they come, and they're being healed, and they're being delivered, and they're being set free. Why? Because God is making the most of midnight. Praise God. What if you are sitting on a pew at Heaven View in the year 2017, what if you have access to repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost, and the reality that these signs shall follow them that believe? What if we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? And you would say, wow, last Sunday, and the Sunday before, and the Sunday before that, woo, I got so much out of church. Man, it really helped me. But now I hear what you're saying, Pastor. This is not just for me. This is for everybody, for every school, for every neighborhood, for every church, for every family, for every creed, for every culture, for every color. We will make the most of midnight. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice? Praise the name of the Lord. People at midnight are more apt to turn to God than sometimes in the middle of the day when the sun is shining and everything seems to be going their way. People at midnight are more apt to listen to you when they would hardly regard you because you're a little bit different or you believe some things they don't understand. But you can make the most of midnight because there is a cry for a supernatural solution. And if you listen when you go to work tomorrow, you will hear that cry. You young people that are heading back to school this week or the next, if you listen, you will hear that cry. What is that cry? It's midnight and it's getting dark and we're getting scared. Somebody rescue us. Somebody help us. Somebody make the most of midnight. And here comes a teenager. Here comes a believer. Here comes a Sunday school teacher. Here comes an elder. Here comes a preacher. Oh yes, maybe they never would come to church before. Oh yes, maybe they even made fun of you and your own family. But let's make the most of midnight. Let's make the most of midnight. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Right where you're seated, I want you to practice. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. In the last couple weeks, We have seen the atrocities of hatred in this nation. So many have spoken out in the media, even some on social media, perhaps even some here. You try to get your word out so that you can make your case known. But I wonder if you would cry out to God in repentance for a nation where there is still plenty of hatred to go around, where there is still plenty of prejudice to go around. Would you just for a moment make the most of midnight and say, you know what? We're not just a church that talks about it. We're not just a church that comes up with another social program, but we recognize where talking has its place and where social programs have their place. God has said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Is there anybody that will cry out, Jesus, forgive us. Jesus, heal us. Is there anybody that will cry out in the midnight and say, God, forgive us for racism. Forgive us for prejudice. Forgive us for hatred. Forgive us, God, for social injustice. But God, we know there might be a place to speak out on these issues, but we don't want speaking out to take the place of crying out. In the name of Jesus, I wonder right now if you would just raise your voice and say, thank you, Lord. I know this was just a little brief prayer, but I want you to know, Lord, I believe that if I will continue to cry out to you, you're going to bring us healing. You're going to bring us salvation. You're going to bring us revival. You're going to help us to make the most of midnight. Can you say in Jesus' name? I want to declare to this great church that every ending can be the way to a new beginning, and your darkest hour can be the setup for your brightest day, because every new day begins at midnight. Every new day begins at midnight. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. What's the church going to be doing at midnight? We're going to be singing. We're going to be praying. We're going to be worshiping. And we're going to be declaring God is faithful in the midnight. And the midnight is not the beginning of just the end. It is the beginning of the brightest day for the church. Psalm 121, the psalmist said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. It's time for us to fill up our lives with prayer in the midnight hour, as though we know God is not asleep. God is not on a journey, but God is waiting for the church to cry out to him. Psalm 30, for his anger endureth for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Come on, church. It's midnight. We're going to make the most of it, not by hanging out on Facebook and printing out every opinion about every situation. You want to make the most of midnight? Become a prayer warrior. Become a worshiper. Become a soul winner. And the light's going to shine through your efforts. in Judges 16. It's 11:59 p.m. And I know there's some young people here, and this is kind of harsh, but it's in the Bible. Samson is laying in bed with a harlot, and the enemy is surrounding him, ready to kill him. It's 11:59, and at midnight. I'm not saying he should have been in bed with that harlot, but there was something that God did at midnight, that he put the very gates of the city of his enemy on his shoulders, and he carried them off into the hillside. Can I preach to somebody here that you know there are seasons and areas of your life where the devil would exploit your weaknesses, where he would make you feel like a spiritual failure? I want you to know, at midnight, you can dance on the head of your enemies. At midnight, you can take the gates of hell, and you can move forward into the purpose of God. Don't let your past keep you from the light that's going to shine at midnight. Don't let your failures keep you from the revival that's coming at midnight. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy, though I fall. It's 11:59. I feel like a failure, but at midnight, I know joy is coming. Amen. At 11:59, Pharaoh, it seems, has gotten the last laugh. Moses, the leader of God's people, all the time you're talking about deliverance. All the time you're talking about God's people being free. Moses, you look like a fool, because Pharaoh is still winning. At 11:59 p.m. But at midnight, the death angel went through all of Egypt and killed the firstborn of every animal, every person. It was God's judgment upon the evil of that society, and all of the people of God were protected. All of the people of God were covered by the blood. All of the people of God got the message. Pharaoh has had a change of heart, and now he's screaming, let those people go. Let those people go. I'm trying to tell you, it's time for God to make the most of the midnight, but he needs his people to apply the blood to your families. He needs his people to be covered by the blood, because at midnight there's going to be a deliverance. At midnight there's going to be a shout. At midnight the world is going to turn to the church and say, here, whatever you need to have revival, whatever you need to have victory, whatever you need to do the will of God. I'm trying to tell somebody, if you're ever going to invest in the kingdom of God, it's midnight. If you're ever going to be a prayer warrior, it's midnight. If you're ever going to be a soul winner, it's midnight. If you're ever going to be a worshiper, it's midnight. If you're ever going to be a giver, it's midnight. God is ready to make the most of the midnight. And so, Paul and Silas, you know the story. Chained into the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon. And at midnight, Paul and Silas sang. They prayed and they sang praises to God. If you would study Acts 16, and I'll just save a little time by not reading it. They had been preaching, they had been serving God right, and they got beat up, they got bloodied, they got imprisoned. 11:59 for them was a great time to say, you know what, God, I've done this enough already. You know what, God, I've been here and done that. God, you know, I've served you forever. It don't look like much is changing. But at midnight, they prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, let's thank the Lord for such a powerful word. Let's thank the Lord for such a clear word. Let's thank the Lord for such a direct word. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God is speaking to us as a church, but he's also speaking specifically to individuals. And we're going to stop right here because that word was so clear and so spot on. There are individuals here that in your midnight right now, you need to make a decision. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm all in, Lord. I'm putting all my confidence in you, Lord. I'm putting all my trust in you, Lord. It's midnight, and I don't understand why I've gone through some of the things I've gone through. I don't know why I faced some of the things I've faced. But I can tell you, Lord, at midnight, I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be worshiping. I'm going to be reaching out to people. I'm going to be giving. I'm going to be 100% committed at midnight. Because while I would love to focus on the worship and the rejoicing, I think if Paul and Silas show us anything, they show us the commitment. I've got every excuse to back off now. I've got every excuse to kind of fade out now. I've got every excuse to say, God, I've already done my part. But at midnight, I'm giving him my best. At midnight, I'm giving him my best. At midnight, I'm giving him my total confidence that he is in control of my situation. Would you stand? And if you are willing, if there is a midnight in your life, you don't have to tell anybody what it is, but you are willing to stand with me at this altar and just say, Jesus, I heard your voice today. I heard your voice today through your word and through the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm all in, God. I'm all in, God. I may be beaten, I may be bloodied, but I'm sticking with you, God. I'm going to let my light shine, God. There are some that are already coming. Anybody's welcome to come. You can be a part of this church, or you can even be a guest that you know God is speaking to you right now. I wonder if you would come and let the Lord know, I'm trusting you, Lord, in my midnight. I'm trusting you, Lord, in my midnight. I'm trusting you, Lord, in my midnight. I'm trusting you, Lord. This is a great moment to recommit to prayer. This is a great moment to recommit to trusting the Lord. This is a great moment to recommit to saying, God, I'm giving you my very best. I'm making sure you know, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in for you, God. I'm all in for you, God. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take a little bit of courage. I want you to pray until other people can hear you pray. I want you to lift your voice out until even those around you can hear you speaking with other tongues. Why? Because there's other prisoners here and they need to hear you. There's other people facing midnight and they need to hear you. There's other people in the darkness and they need to hear you. There's other people going through it and they need to hear you. There's other people that don't know about tomorrow and they need to hear you. That's it. Lift your voice out until the prisoners can hear. Lift your voice out until the depressed can hear. Lift your voice out until the sick can hear. Lift your voice out until those that are struggling with fear and uncertainty, they can hear.